Alright, so we're up to the Perek HaShmini. So Perek HaShmini is a little different from the rest. He goes into the topic of Bechira. And, you know, because all of this that we've been discussing is presupposing that you have the ability to change yourself. Right, so it discusses that discusses the idea of bechira, because, like the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, right, he says he's discussing in Hilchos Tshuva and Mikoseres. He says the mitzvos that are boyin. Biglola. He says, "Bir mitzvah zuvi ikarim hanigrorim ima biglola." And one of the prakim, one of the parakeh, I think it is, he discusses tshuva, because the idea that you can change who you are is essential to Hilchos Tshuva. And that demands the belief in the idea that we have a bechira. So here too, this is also like a tshuva type of enterprise of perfecting yourself, and it also presupposes this ikar of bechira. So it rhymes like this: Beofen hativi hanushi, ofei hativi hanushi. In the ways of the nature of man. E efsha sheyiha odam me reishiso bitivo balmala o balmigras. So the Rambam says it's not possible that a person from the beginning, me reishiso, from his very initiation, in by his nature, should be either a Baal Mala, someone who has a perfection, or a Baal Migras, or someone with an imperfection. Kishem she'i efshar she'yehe ofei ha'odom betivo Baal Malacha min ha'malachos ha'maisios. Just like it's not possible for man to be born naturally with a technical skill, right? So that's a very interesting thing. The Rambam is comparing the perfection and imperfection. He doesn't say about midas over here per se, but just the traits, all of those character traits. Every mala or migras is some kind of a trait, either in perfection or in thinking. And the Rambam is saying those traits are, by definition, he's saying, are acquired. Just like a skill is acquired. Just like no one is born a carpenter, as the old example goes, no one is born with a perfection or imperfection naturally ingrained in him. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's even. Oval. Efsha shehe ofio betivo muchan lamadla migras. But there are, of course, possibilities. There are, of course, differences in your natural disposition, your natural propensity, your what you're inclined towards. Hamashal sheyuhu pu'ulos elu yosir kalem me olav mi pu'ulos zulasam. Person will naturally find certain things easier than other things, depending on his constitution, depending on the faculties that he has. Hamashal b'zeh. Now, of course, this is in a little bit of a different frame of reference in terms of science, but he says, for example, if a person has a dry constitution, very dry. So he is, that's good for the brain. He'll have a very sharp brain. Okay. Yotia mohus moho zocha meitos halachios. Hare adam ze yekel olav hazechronos vavonos anyonim. He'll have a hard, he'll have an easier time remembering things than a person who is meruba halichios. Got a, we don't have that expression, a wet head, maybe you'll call a guy. Hard head, we say. But, what's that? Airhead, right.
Which guy will be remembering more?
The dry. If you have a drier. Aval im yuznach osa sheesh bo hachona b'mezgo kalpe hamala hazu, b'li limud klal, u'b'li la'orer shum koach, harehu yishor socho b'li sofik. So he says, even a guy who is inclined towards a perfection, he's got the driest head you've ever seen, right? But if he doesn't use it, okay, and he doesn't train himself, he doesn't have any limud or any awakening to any, then he's just going to stay a fool. B'li limud klal u'b'li la'orer bo shum koach. If he doesn't actualize, he doesn't awaken any force, any power, then he'll just have been born with the natural disposition towards something. But it's like the Ram says, it's like a it doesn't have a it's just potential. It's potential. He has to put it into actuality with training and some kind of striving. V'chein im yilamedu v'yaskilu oso gam gas hativiyam rav halechios harehu yilamed v'yoven, but it'll be hard. If you take a guy who's not as quick minded, but you train him and he puts more effort into it and he spends a lot of time on it, he'll also learn. It'll just be harder for him. And in this way, a person, v'al ha'ofen hazeh atzmo yihye odom mezeg libo yoser cham. Sometimes people are more hot-hearted, and that will also make him more brave. Okay, more brazen, brash. He'll be more brave. But that just means he has a more of a natural preparation for that. If he takes it up and he learns how to do it, he'll get it. He'll get it easy. It'll become easy for him. Okay. And a person who has a colder heart, he's going to naturally be tending towards cowardice. But if he works at it, he can also that'll be easy for him. But if he pushes himself towards bravery, he can acquire that too. Okay, but it'll be very hard, but he can certainly get there. And he says, and I only explain this to you so that you shouldn't think what the fools, the ones who are making up, who are lying, the liars, the fools who dream about these ideas of the astrology, that they think in their minds that these things are true. That's the only reason I have to tell you this, because there are these people who accept the Mishpote HaMazolos to be true. And they consider Shehem Midamim Shemolados B'nei Adam Osos Osom Bale Mala O Bale Migras. They believe that your birth defines which perfections and imperfections you will have. V'sheha'odam Muchrach Al Oson HaPu'ulos Al Kol Panim. That's the key, though. And now what? The person must no matter what, arrive at those characteristics. He must have those characteristics. No matter, he's born under this star, he will be aggressive. He's born under this star, he will have this quality.
No Bechira then?
No Bechira. Well, that's right. In terms of your midos, the malos and the negros are determined, absolutely determined. Okay. So what is the big question is, what does the Rambam mean when he's comparing also the midos to like a skill? I mean, that's really the essence of what he's trying to express over here. That, and like he says many times before, the trait, the mida, the mala and the migras, is a certain fixed character. And that character, it's really a quality in your nefesh, certain koach, there's a certain faculty that becomes developed in your nefesh that is now responsible and sort of generates the action of that mida. And the Rambam is saying that what we call the ma'ala and the migras is when it turns from a certain natural tendency to become a fixed part of who you are. But that requires, so to speak, repetition and training and a certain ingraining into your through the repetition of the action. So he's saying it's true, it might be that a person who is naturally disposed to one trait or another might acquire the trait with much less training than someone else, but it's always going to require some action that then, let's think if we can define it a little bit better, but some action that then becomes natural to him, becomes like a second nature to him. You know, it's like there's a difference between doing an action, between baking and being a baker. There's a different thing between doing an act and being defined as having that quality that generates that act. When the Rambam discusses the malos and the negros, it's when it becomes solidified and becomes its own source now, not just a open flow, you know, a free flow of energy that can be directed one way or the other, but it becomes fixed. So he's saying, but when you're, by nature, it's a combination of nature and nurture. That's what he's saying, right? It's a combination of nature and nurture. Who you are, your definition in terms of the malos and the negros, is going to be determined by, so two people, you know, 100 people go through the same exact experiences and come out with a different range of midos because of their natural propensity, what they were mukhan for. But the point still is that it requires some kind of action that develops it into a mida, develops it into a malo or migras. Just like you can do an act of drawing Ariel, trying to be your sofer. So you can learn how to write a letter. You can copy a guy and make a letter. But that's a far cry from acquiring the umness of Safas. Certain point where it becomes like a natural thing to you, and you're no longer mimicking an act. You're no longer mimicking what someone else's letter. You have that skill and that quality yourself. Now, that he's saying, that's the type of a of the phenomenon that that a mala or a migras is.
You feel that.
I mean, that's most people are like that. You say Adam Yetzelev Adam Rami Nurov. So it means to say, from the beginning, a person is not going to be thinking and guiding his development with his mind. So he's just going to naturally develop in whatever gives him pleasure, whatever he enjoys, whatever it is. So he'll develop those traits and those malos and those negros. But when we say Yetzelev Adam Rami Nurov, it doesn't mean he's fixed with the nature of Ra. It just means to say that he's not pursuing any chachma at the early stages of his life, and he's controlled and driven by his desires, Yetzer Hara. But the point still is, yeah, that the malos and the migros. It's interesting. The malos and the migros require some kind of formation in the man, in the person. You'll have a certain substance. And it requires a form. Now he's like this. Aval ato, let's go a little further. Aval ato da. Yeah. She dover muskam hu mitora seinu u philosophis yovan the mashem sheam tu havikuchos hamitios. So it's something that is agreed upon in our Torah, from our Torah. It's accepted from our Torah and verified by the true arguments of the philosophers that all of the actions of man are given to him. Ein olav hechrich bahen. There's no force in them. Ein lo moshech chitzoni klal hamateu kalpe mala o migras. This is important because, in other words, he's saying that the mala and the migras requires some kind of a repetition and development to attain it. So therefore, you can't be born with it. Right? It's not possible to be born with it. Because by definition, it is something that is acquired through training. Just like we all know, no one's born a sofer. Might have the right dexterity, etc., to pick it up quickly, but he's not born with that trait. But is there something that drives you to acquiring those things? Right? See, this is a little bit different, he's saying. He's saying, Kol pu'ulos adam misturos biyado. Nothing external. There's nothing that happens by force. Ein olav hechrach b'hem. Man is not... doesn't have to do things out of necessity. He has will. Ve'ein lo moshech chitzoni klal hamateu kalpe ma'aleh megras. So nothing is pushing him towards a perfection or an imperfection. Elim kein hi hachona mizigiz bavad. Unless you consider it just his natural condition that is easier to, makes it easier or more difficult to attain certain traits. So that's possible that it's easier or harder. But to say that he must acquire these traits, or he will never acquire these traits, that is not possible. Now, of course, he's not talking about a trait that you simply don't have the faculty to acquire, right? He means to say anything that you have the ability to acquire because you have at least the basic minimal shear of the hachana for it, you can acquire it. It's just going to be very difficult for you. But there's nothing, you're not born with the trait, and there's nothing that's going to force you to acquire it or prevent you from acquiring it. The ilu hoya adam muchrach b'masov. If a person was forced in what he does, then we can just get rid of the whole Torah. There'd be no reason for this. It would all be a waste of time. It would be an absolute waste. If you don't have a choice in what to do, then what's the point of the Torah telling you do this and don't do that? V'chein mischayev mizeh bitul halimud v'achinach. It's interesting. V'limudi kol ha-molochos ha-umnios. And if you're going to tell me, how far are you going to take this idea? If you're going to tell me that a person must be driven towards acquiring certain midos, because you know, why is he driven to acquiring midos? Must be that his actions are determined. And what? And therefore, he must ultimately acquire this mida or that, or may not acquire that mida. Well, then, what about his skill? What about his learning? Those are also things that are acquired through action. Must he also acquire those? And may he all, and is he also prevented from acquiring those? So if you really believe that, then it should be universal. It should be in all the realms, in all the areas, that his actions impact what he is. So then you can say, okay, so forget about going to school. Forget about learning a skill. Because you'll either have to or you won't be able to. V'yanase kol zel v'atola, k'even shal kol panim, yesh l'odem behechrech, moshech, chitzoni ha-moshko, l'fi dasa sovim kin. L'maise ploni, shiyase oso, u'lamada ploni, shiyida enu, u'lamada plonis, Yeah. What exactly is this idea that he's rejecting? I mean, is it like we're all just puppets on a string? I mean, after you acquire these skills, for instance, are you using them? Or is that just an illusion? Yeah. When you, what does it mean? It gets a little bizarre when you think about these things a little bit more. You know what I mean? Like, what does it mean to acquire the mida? But you never really are self-directing anyway. You know? What does it mean you acquire a skill? Well, when you draw the letter, are you drawing it because of the skill you have? Or are you drawing it because something is forcing you to do that action? Right? It's like a little bit of a funny mix of Bechira and free will. So what exactly is he... is he talking about?
Within his shita or?
Within the shita he's rejecting. In other words, he's rejecting the shita that. I think what he's saying is like this. I have to think about it. I have to draw it out a little bit. I think he's trying to take like a common man's approach. Certain people feel about it. There's a little bit of an inner contradiction. They feel about perfection of their midos, like there's nothing they can do about this anymore. Like that's it. Many, many times I've heard this from many, many people. That there is certain, that's it, this is the way I am, this is the way God made me, even they'll say sometimes, and I can't change my attitude about things. That's it, I have a temper, I get annoyed, I'm frustrated, whatever it is, whatever bad mida they don't want to work on. And they'll say, look, this is the mida that I have, and there's nothing I can do about it. Okay? So, that's the attitude that the Rambam is trying to reject, trying to demonstrate that that it doesn't make any sense. Because what do you mean that you have to be this way? Don't you agree that the mida is an acquired trait? No, the mida is an acquired trait. Because I guess that's the question that they could argue about, right? But that's not what they're arguing about. I mean, that's the premise that he's starting with. That a mida is an acquired trait no different than any skill. No, going back, there are definitely different hachanos. Definitely people have different predispositions to being able to acquire a trait more easily or have more difficulty. Right, like, yeah, like, Pasas Kamayim, you'll say about the Reuven, he has a certain trait, and this Shevet maybe has a certain trait. But it means to say, since they have a propensity towards that trait, on average, more of that trait will be present in those people who have the propensity towards it, because it's easier for them to acquire the trait from fewer actions. Right? But his point is, you have to realize that the midos that we have are really acquired, and just like any other skill is acquired. And if you believe that, if you recognize that there are an acquired characteristic, that means to say they are generated from actions that are basically like a training. And you can't say, and nobody believes, you can't say that you believe those actions of training must or must not occur. Because you definitely don't accept that in other areas where you recognize training results in results. Training produces results. Nobody says that being a doctor, there's no reason to go to medical school because you either have to do those actions and learn how to be a doctor or you don't. So, in the realm of the midos, once you accept the idea that they are a trait that's produced from a limud, then you can't say that the limud is forced upon you. Because if this limud is forced upon you, then all limud is forced upon you. And if all limud is forced upon you, then there's no reason to engage in any course of study. There's no reason to do that. Now, what if you say the guy who is going to medical school is being forced? Maybe every guy who does that doesn't realize he's being forced. Maybe he doesn't have a choice. Right, but his argument is, if you're going to go down to the realm of Maisa, then all mitzvos make no sense. And it doesn't make sense to rationally relate to these areas as being under your control and not to the other areas as being under your control. And everybody relates to the preparations of learning and studying as under their control. So why should they treat the other ones and give up on the other ones? Yeah. Rahaya gam haschar va'onesh ovel muchlat. So not only would mitzvahs be a waste of time to give them, but to punish or reward would be unjust. Bein meitanu zelazeh, bein meisashem lanu. Whether it's from man to man or from God to man. Ki shimon zeh sherotzach, this Shimon who killed Reuven, if he was an onus and muchrach to kill, and this person was onus and muchrach to die, so then why should we punish Shimon? Okay. And furthermore, how is it possible to say about God, Yis'aleh, Tzadik V'yashahu? He's Sheyan Yishayu al Maisa Shehu Muchrach La'asoso al Kolpanim. V'afilu im Rotzer Shelo La'asos Lo Yuchal. How do you say about God he's just if he's going to punish a person about something that he had to do? And also, betelim kol ha'eschonin, all the preparations would be a waste of time. Whether they're household preparations, whether it's buying food, or running away from danger, or preppers would be out of business. Whether it's since kol mashen nigzar yiyeh muchrach lios. Yep. You see, it's an interesting thing. People like pick and choose when they very inconsistently adopt this type of an attitude, you know. Generally when the preparation is painful to a person, they'll say, it either is gonna be or it's not gonna be. It's either your time is up or your time is not up. You know. When they don't wanna make these and they don't want to engage in the difficult preparation or they don't wanna worry about things, they adopt like a fate attitude. But he's saying, look, if it's really up to fate, then why is it just this one little thing is up to fate? And then it's like Sajigon, you know, he says, so don't buy any food and see how well that preparation, see how long you last with that. So he says, V'chol ze hevel, dvarim betelim behechlit, v'neged ha-muskal v'ha-murgash, v'heres chomas ha-torah, v'laniach ki-Hashem yisrael le'ovel, chalila lo mikach. So he says, if you adopt this philosophy in its full-blown form, then it's nonsense. It's nonsense. It's dvarim betelim. It goes against sense and feeling, because we don't feel like we're being forced to do things. It destroys the chomas haTorah, and it makes God into evil. Chalila lo mikach. So he's saying on every front, there's no room for this kind of thinking. Oh, well, let's see what the MS is. Well, MS she'ain bo sofik. The truth that there's no doubt about is every action of a person is given over to his own, to his hands. If he wants to do, and if he wants, he will do, and if he wants, he won't do, without any force or pressure upon him. There's nothing pushing him to it. Ulefikach naseh chiyuvi hatzivo. That's why we need a mitzvah. And it says, Re'ei nosati lefenecha yom esachayim v'esatov, v'esamo v'esasaro, uvocharta b'chayim. So the truth of the matter is, that's the ikar of that pasuk. The ikar of that pasuk, the question always is, what do you mean, Hinei nosati lefenecha yom esachayim v'esatov, v'esamo v'esasaro, uvocharta b'chayim? Who wouldn't choose the chayim? You need to tell me to choose the chayim. Right? That's the question on the pasuk. What do you mean? I'm going to choose the chayim because you tell me to choose the chayim? Choose the chayim because it's the chayim. You need to do it. You need to instruct somebody to that. But the point of the matter is, the truth of the matter is that that's the essence of that pasuk, that it's telling you you do have these things before you, and it is up to your choice. You shouldn't feel like chayim and moves and tov and ra are determined for me already. Because that's the interesting thing about bechira. It's the more you understand it, the more you take it, the more you recognize the truth of it, the more you will take advantage of it. If a person doesn't believe in it, he's going to live his life without thinking into things, without choosing, without making decisions, without causing, without preparations. But sometimes your bechira comes about from your knowledge of bechira, the actuality of bechira. In a person very often comes about because he's awakened to the idea that he does have control of his life. So you need that limud of to recognize what's possible, to recognize that it is mesurim biyado. V'nosanas ha-bechira b'zeh biyadenu v'chiyuvi ha-onesh v'over. And now it's necessary. What does he mean it's necessary? It's necessary to have an onesh for one who violates and a reward for the one who listens. Im tishmu v'imlo sishmu. So, what's the necessity? Part of the necessity is that you should realize that. You should realize now there are consequences. That's another element that's going to help me make my proper choices, and it's also just. V'chiyuvi l'lamed v'lilmod. So now you have to learn and teach. V'limatem asam es b'neichem. V'limatem asam v'shmartem asosam. And everything that else, v'shar kol mash and nemar b'limud b'kiyum hamitzos. Everything else, that's all necessary. And also, all the preparation is necessary. Like it says, In the Sefer HaEmes, Yasisa Makala Gagecha, Kipo Hanofel, put up a fence around your roof. Why? Because it's possible that someone will fall. It's possible that someone will fall. Meaning to say, prepare. You have to take preparations. Safety precautions. Pen Yomos B'Milchama, B'Me Yishkav, Lo yachvor chayim v'recha v'ravim od b'torah u'b'sifrei neviya anavua me'inyin zeh klomar ha'eskonenus. So the Torah, in many, many places, presents things as possibilities that you must prepare for. So that shows you that that's the whole, that's the truth that that the Torah is teaching you. You should never feel in a certain area, I'll just have bitachon, and or different. No, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't feel like this. It's futile. That's what people think sometimes. It's futile. I'm either supposed to have this or I'm not supposed to have this. So I'm not gonna try. Not gonna work. Yeah. It's a very interesting thing in this week's parsha, right? That even though Rivka had a nevuah, that Yaakov would be the bechor, so to speak. Rav Yavotza, the older one would be subservient to the younger one. She felt she had to intervene in order to make sure that it occurs. Because she didn't have the attitude, well, it's a nevuah, God says it's going to happen, let's just let it play itself out. It's not for me. No, nevuah taught her an idea. It taught her what should be. And she felt she had to step in and take the proper preparations to make sure it works out. So even something like that, you have to always look at as something you have to take the necessary preparations for. It's an interesting thing. Even in the vua, even in the vua that she had. It's interesting that she didn't tell Yitzchak the nevuah, right? So that seems to be a good riot to the Rambam. That they would never try to tell anybody else the nevuahs. That there was never, only by Moshe.
Unless that was part of the nevuah.
Well, which nevuah was that? Right, he's saying the only Navi that was given the instructions to tell people that he has a nevuah was Moshe.
Yonah, no?
No, I mean before Moshe. It didn't. It wasn't before, right?
I always thought that like she thought he wouldn't accept.
There are other answers. It would be detrimental, whatever. But could be just that wasn't what nevuah was. She wasn't a shliach. Wasn't a nevuah of shlichus, and therefore she didn't have a right to share it. In other words, for her, the nevuah was a reality of how these two should relate. That's the reality of their relationship. But it wasn't saying it's a, and of course, it would eventuate in some way. It would have to eventuate that way, but she felt that that this was an opportunity to bring it about, and if that bracha occurred, it would set it back.
In the opposite case where Avraham and Sarah,
as he says, but you find in the words of the Chachamim a strange expression that seems to contradict this principle. And what do they say? Hakol bidei Shemayim chutz miyir Shemayim. So that sounds like everything is in the hands of Shemayim except for Yir Shemayim. It doesn't sound like a big realm. And that's true, the Ram says. V'hu omar al derech shebiyarnu, but it means it in the way that we explained. Ella, and it's, in other words, what we've said up to this point is true. That everything we have control over, all of our actions are really given to our control. Ella shehar be toim bo b'nei Adam. But many people made a mistake with this Maimon Chazal, and some of them thought that the pu'ulos ha'odam asher hu b'chiri b'hem shu muchrach aleim. Yeah. Some people thought that things that person has a choice about, he's forced to do. In other words, they were minimizing the realm of a person's free will. For instance, Lisa Plonis, to marry a certain woman. Or, Sheyehe Amomen Azeh Biyodo Begezel. All right, Kafach has it in the footnote. All right, but anyway, so so they thought, let's stick with Lisa Isher. It's easier for now. They thought, oh, you're Basher. Whoever you marry is not up to you. It's something that had to be. It was meant to be. It had to be. V'zein enochon, l'fisha isha zu. This woman. If you married her with a ksuba and kedushin, and she's a woman who's permitted to you, and you marry her for the right purpose of pruvu, that's a mitzvah. And Hashem is not gozer on a siyas mitzvah. And if you married her, and she's a birush birisha, meaning to say that there was some any one of those things that he mentioned before were improper, wasn't a, he didn't marry her properly, she wasn't a mut of you, wasn't for the right reason. So then that's a bad act, and that's an avera. Main Hashem goes to all avera. V'chol zeh v'chein zeh shegozal momon shaploni o ganvo o remehu o kofarbo v'nishpa lo mamono o nema im nema shashem gozal zeh sheyavol yado momon zeh sheyotam miyad osu v'sheini arei gozal avera. And if and that would be so, if you can't say that he had to get this money through improper means, that would be God making a person do an avera. So that's not true. Elakol pu'ulos ha'odam shehem mesuros biyado bohen b'li sofek timotzei hashmas v'ameri. So the answer is like this. Look, and this is something that the Chovos Vavos says also. It says that it's a mistake to think that the realm of mitzvah and avera is just taryag. Mitzvah and avera really relates to all of your actions. All of your actions can be done with the proper intention of furthering your relationship with God, your commitment to Torah, your perfection of your midos and your das, or in the pursuit of the opposite. And the Chovos Vavos says most people think there's things you have to do, things you can't do, and things that are just up to you, whatever you want to do, free reign. He says it's not true. Every single action you do could be analyzed. Is it good for you? Is it bringing you closer to the right ideas? Or is it not? Or is it taking you away? Like the Ram says in Deos, every action you do all day long could either be part of Yedias Hashem or b'chol d'rachel do'ehu. Right, so what does it mean? Behold, Rachel, how do you know God in all of your ways, in all of your actions? He says, if you go to sleep so that you're rested, so that you can learn, and you eat food so that you can be healthy, and you do exercise to stay healthy, and you relax so that you can learn, you get a, you have yishev hadas, you need to have all of those things that are important. All of those actions become part of your the way that you know God. So all of those actions have a character of mitzvah. And if you are not doing any isurim per se, but you're, you know, like a menuvel b'rishus din, or not even a menuvel b'rishus din, just a bum, but he just doesn't do any isurim. I mean, so that's not a mitzvah. That's not avera. So therefore, he says, all of a person's actions are given to the possibility of compliance or rebellion. Okay. Lefishek varbiyano perkasheni shet sivoy vazhora hatoraniyam enam ela bepulos sheish lodam ben bechira lasosam o shalo lasosam. Ubechelak hazeh mina nefesh tia yiras shamayim ena bide shamayim ela mesura lebechiras adam kamoshabiyano. So that's really what the way he learns is it's hakol bide shamayim chutz mi yir shamayim. But Yirah Shamayim covers everything, practically covers all the actions that you choose. Everything you choose to do has an impact and is in the realm of Yirah Shamayim. Okay. So what does it mean, Hakol? What does it mean, Hakol? Basically, he comes out to say that Yirah Shamayim basically means human conduct. That's the realm of Yirah Shamayim. The way you choose to live your life is an expression and is a part, an integral part of your Yirah Shemayim, right? Like your grandfather used to say. So he says, so what does it mean? Hakol bidei Shemayim chutz mi Yirah Shemayim? That means dvarim hativim. That means natural things. So everything is bidei Shemayim, meaning the world and nature and the forces of the of natural order, except for the human realm. That's basically his interpretation of that frame, of that statement. Hakol bidei Shemayim, chutz mi Yirah Shemayim. We are just a little too egotistical, so we just naturally think that whatever we do constitutes everything. But no, Hakol is much bigger than our realm. There is a big Hakol other than Yirah Shemayim, because Hakol relates to all of nature, and everything in nature is fixed and determined and obeys set laws, except for the realm of man's activities, which reflect Yirah Shemayim, which are part of his own perfection. And therefore he says, Hakol ena kavana v'kach ela dvar mativim. Yeah, and even more, I'm sorry, I shouldn't dilute it. It even means things that have to do with us. For instance, your height, or whether we're going to suffer, whether you read us Geshem o Betzoras, o Achiras ha'avir o Zachuso, o Kiyotzi b'zeh, mikol ma sheyesh ba'olam chutz mi tenuos ha'adam, everything except for man's actions and resting. But in Yinzesha biyaru chachamim shamashmos v'meri einam b'gzeros yisala. But that which they explained, that a person's submission or compliance or rebellion are not under God's decree. V'lo beretzono, but rather they're in the Ratzon of man. Nimshechu b'zeh achadira yirmiyo. That really comes directly from, you can see it clearly from the Pesukim in Eicha. Okay, because it says, mi pi elyon lo teitzei haro'os v'hatov. From God don't, the evil and the good do not come from the decree of God. Ra'os means good, means bad actions, and tov, he's saying, means good actions. And it says, "Ein Hashem gozer shi'aseh ha'adam masim ra'im v'lo shi'aseh masim tovim." That's mi pi elyon lo teitzei haro'os v'tov. And since it's true that we're not fated to do good or bad actions, that's why ra'oi lo la'adam l'is'onin l'stayer. A person should be upset about what he did. Amasha asam in avonos v'ashamos. Because he's the one who did it. From his own desire. That's why it says, Mayis onin adam chai, gever al chatov. So since it's mi pi elyon lo teitzei ha tov, ha ro'os v'ha tov, therefore you should take responsibility for it. And you should concern yourself, and you should be upset with yourself that you did these actions. Don't put the blame on God and walk away saying and walk around feeling content. No, it comes from you, and it came from your rutzon, and it was a bad action, and therefore you should be mitztayer on that. And then he says, but don't despair, because the refuah of the choli is biyodeinu. Just like you rebelled, just like we rebelled with our will, so too we can correct ourselves. That's why it says, "Nach v'chadu, nach b'sodrachinu v'nach chora v'nashuva ad Hashem, nisilavino kapayim alkel b'shamayim." So that's those psukim. Just those psukim express this idea. First, you have to recognize it's lo mi pi elyon. You have to recognize our behavior is not determined. Our behavior of good and bad actions is not determined by God. That type of an attitude makes you walk around feeling not responsible for anything. No, no, no. You have a responsibility. You should be upset. You should be pained by that. But take a positive step. And nach b'sodrachinu v'nashuva. Right? Like by kayin. You know. I thought Tim shall go. You can control it. It's you. You can control it. Okay. We'll continue.